Welcome back. We're in week 3 in our series called The Valley. Now, if you haven't been here for a few weeks, I'm going to catch you up really quickly. It's not all that difficult, but we are in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. Ezekiel, chapter 37. We've been slow walking our way through these first 14 verses and identifying the lessons learned between the mountaintops, down here in the valley. And the very first thing we said the very first week is, look, we recognize that some of you are walking through your valley right now. The valley is the season that you're in this moment. And for some, that's evident. For some, that's visible. Like, we see it, we see you, that's okay. It's not a thing to be ashamed of. And for others of us, you've managed to keep that hidden from us. And we haven't seen it. But I want to say it again and again and again. I want to say it until it's impressed upon your mind and upon your heart. You need not be embarrassed of the valley. Walking through this season doesn't mean that you're a bad Christian. Sometimes God brings you to the valley to draw you closer to Himself. It's not that God is judging you. It's not that you failed Him. He has brought you here for a purpose, to draw you in closer to Himself. So if you're there, if you found your way to Ezekiel chapter 37, we're going to stand together in honor of reading God's word. We'll have the verses up here on the screens. We're going to read Ezekiel 37 verses 1 through 14. God's word says, "The hand of the Lord was on me, and He brought me out by His Spirit and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were a great many of them on the surface of the valley, and they were very dry. And then He said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' And I replied, 'Lord God, only You know.' He said to me, 'Prophesy concerning these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord God says to these bones: I will cause breath to enter you and you will live. I will put tendons on you and make flesh grow on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you so that you come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded. While I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone, and I looked, tendons appeared on them, flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And He said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. Say to it, this is what the Lord God says: breath, come from the four winds and breathe into these slain, so that they may live.' So I prophesied as He commanded me. The breath entered them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. And then He said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Look how they say, our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the Lord God says: I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them, my people, and lead you into the land of Israel. You will know that I am the Lord, my people, when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I have spoken and I will do it. This is the declaration of the Lord." Father, give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive your word this morning, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So the first week, we took note of how important it is to acknowledge the valley. Ezekiel says the Lord's hand was upon him, and that the Spirit of God carried Ezekiel into the valley, and he led Ezekiel all around so that he could get a really good look. And Ezekiel's observation was simple. The valley was full of bones, and they were very dry. Now, Ezekiel is not overly optimistic about the state of the bones. But he wasn't distraught, and he wasn't despondent either. He simply acknowledged what was right in front of him. So when the Lord asked him if the bones could live, Ezekiel could only answer plainly, "Lord God, only you know." Right? Not by themselves, Lord. They're dead. They're dusty. But if you want them to live, they'll live. So God commands Ezekiel to speak to the bones. And that was the lesson we saw last week, that our job is not to do the impossible. We simply speak what God says, we do what He commands, and we trust Him to do what only He can do. And we discussed last week how freeing that is, right? How much that relieves us. That heavy expectation that God will be disappointed if you don't make things happen. He didn't put that there. Simply responding in obedience and trusting the Lord with the finished work, that removes a weight that you were never meant to carry. So Ezekiel says what God commands him to say. Ezekiel speaks to dry bones. He brings forth God's word to dry bones, and the bones begin to rattle and come together. Tendons and flesh and skin, it all begins to grow. But Ezekiel notices that something's wrong, something's still missing. Look at the end of verse 8. At the very end of verse 8, Ezekiel simply says, "There was no breath in them." So God tells him, He commands him to speak to the bones, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Ezekiel clears his throat. He takes a deep breath. He opens his mouth to begin to speak to the bones, and he's still speaking. The bones begin to rattle. Dry bones begin to move. I would think that in that moment, his eyes got about this big, right? Like, okay, Lord, here we go. And then those bones that were once dead, dry bones, what do they become? Well, what do you call bodies with no breath? Corpses? I want you to imagine this with me. God has brought Ezekiel to the valley. He's commanded him to speak to the dry bones, and the result after the miracle. Dead bodies? You see this too, right? I'm not the only one. And so in verse 9, God commands him to prophesy to the breath. You see, sometimes we think that one act of obedience, that first step of obedience, like that's it. That's all that's lacking. That first step, that's all. And so we obey, we do the thing, great. And then we're discouraged because the matter still isn't resolved. The suffering hasn't ended. The challenge hasn't abated yet. And in those moments, Ezekiel reminds us, and I want you to write this down. In that moment, Ezekiel reminds us to keep obeying and to keep trusting. To keep obeying and to keep trusting. God told him to preach the word of the Lord to dry bones, and he did it. And in verse 9, God calls him to prophesy to the breath. He said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. Say to it, this is what the Lord God says. Breath, come from the four winds and breathe into these slain so that they may live. Do you notice that Ezekiel doesn't ask the Lord to clarify anything for him here? Like, God, how many steps are in this process? Can you give me a roadmap, some idea, so I can understand how this is going to work? No. He doesn't do that. God just tells him to prophesy to the breath. You see, these corpses, that's all they are, made from dry bones, were missing something critical. They lacked the breath of life. Think with me all the way back to creation. Genesis chapter 2. The Lord creates humanity. You remember? First he forms the man, Adam, from the dust of the ground, according to Scripture. He made a body. And at that stage of creation, that body probably looked like a lot like the bodies there in the valley. It's just there. There's no breath in it. But then it says in Genesis 2 that the Lord breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and it was only then, in that moment, according to the Genesis account, did Adam become a living creature. So these bones then, these bones, however complete and however intact, however restored, unless the breath of life fills their lungs, what are they? They're still dead. But verse 10 says, I prophesied as he commanded me. Ezekiel didn't obey one time and then cross his arms and wait for God to do his thing. Not like us. No. We eat one salad and expect to lose months worth of cookies in a day. Right? Somebody say amen. All right, I don't want to be alone here. Can I just tell you that's not how it works? That's not how it works. And there is something of a hidden lesson here. So again, if you're taking notes, just write this down. Obedience today paves the way for tomorrow's. Obedience today, in this moment, this act of obedience, this step of faith, that's what paves the way for tomorrow's act of obedience, for tomorrow's step of faith. Look at Ezekiel's obedience in verse 7 is what makes his obedience in verse 10 easier. Speak to the dry bones. Say to the dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. None of us are necessarily, well, some of you maybe have medical degrees, but it doesn't require a medical degree to know that bones don't have ears. Right? Speak to the dry bones. Okay, Lord, you said it. And that step of obedience, because that sounds crazy, that step of obedience is what enables him to take the step of obedience when the Lord calls him to prophesy to the breath. We saw this last week. Ezekiel's ministry. His whole life is marked by obedience. And we read that and we get so impressed with his life filled with obedience. But then we also manage to find, at the same way, a way to dismiss that continued obedience because he had such a close walk with the Lord. Well, of course he kept obeying. Look what he kept seeing God do. But that's to get it backwards. It was his obedience over and over and over that put him in a position to see God do things over and over and over. Obedience today paves the way for tomorrow's because it puts you at the center of what God is doing. So don't wait for tomorrow to walk in obedience. Step into it today. Step into it this morning and see what God does with it. And while you're looking, when he calls you to take the next step, take it. God commands Ezekiel to prophesy to the breath, to call the breath from the four winds, and for the breath to breathe into the corpses in the valley. And look what it says. The breath entered them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. You see, that breath of life that the Lord breathed into Adam at creation, that's the same breath that fills the lungs of the bodies in the valley. And it says that they came to life. They're not reanimated. They're not resuscitated. They are given new life. They are fully and completely and totally alive. They're not just moving bodies. They are living. But it's even more incredible than you're thinking. Because we keep reading and we find in verse 11, he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. So these bones represent Israel. He said, look how they say, how Israel is saying, our bones are dried up and our hope has perished and we are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them. So he's been speaking to the bones, now he speaks to the breath, now he's being told to speak to Israel. This is what the Lord God says, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them, my people, and lead you into the land of Israel. You will know that I am the Lord, my people. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live and I will settle you in your own land. So these bones in the valley don't exist for themselves. These bones in the valley are a picture. They are a picture of Israel in exile. Remember where we are in the biblical narrative, right? Israel, Jerusalem had been defeated. The temple had been ransacked. The place where God's glory dwelled among men had been profaned. Israel was no longer a light to the nations. Its light had gone dark. So, like the bones, Israel was dead and lifeless. There was no hope. There was no latent potential for life. But God is telling them that this valley that they're walking in is not the end of their story. God promises to give the nation new life and to return his people to the land. I can't get over how many times he keeps calling them my people. Now here, I am not here to have an argument with you about the current state of Israel. What I will say is there has to be something comforting about the fact that God is speaking to a dead nation, to a people who have given up hope, and he keeps saying, you're mine, you're mine. Listen to me. I don't know what you're walking through this morning. I don't know what struggle you're facing. I don't know what diagnosis you've heard, but you are still his. He has not abandoned you. Sometimes things come up in the text, through the Spirit, in the moment, that don't show up in my notes because the Spirit does not impress that upon my heart during the week. This is not in my notes. So either this is simply a distraction and a rabbit trail that David is chasing, or the Holy Spirit right now wants to encourage somebody that I know you're in the valley. I know you feel like hope is gone. And I don't know whether you feel judged or you feel forsaken or you feel abandoned or if you feel like there's no hope. If you ever belonged to him, he is still calling you my people. He is still saying, you are mine. Do not fear. Do not give up hope. You are mine. I don't know who needs that today. I don't know who's here today that the Holy Spirit just stopped my sermon and wanted to make that clear. You're not abandoned. You're not forsaken. You are not here because the Lord has forgotten you. You're here because he has not. Sometimes he uses the valley to draw you in closer. God promises to give the nation new life and to return his people to the land. But it's important that we see that he's not returning them to the land so things can be the way it was before. God did not leave them in the valley destroyed. And God isn't sending them his spirit so that they can just go back to normal. Look at verse 10. The breath entered them, and they came to life and stood on their feet. What? A vast army. Not a civic club or an HOA, praise God. Not a sewing circle or a men's group. Not a political party. Not even a parachurch organization. No. They stood on their feet, a vast army. The third thing I want you to write down this morning is this. God raises a people for his purposes. God raises a people for his purposes. And again, context matters here because if we don't understand where this fits in the story of Scripture, we will hear or read vast army and we will think what? We will think of conquest. We will think of victory. That's not quite the picture Ezekiel is painting here. I want you to stay with me. The valley was filled with what? Devastation and decay. We hear that the valley was filled with bones, and we can't possibly imagine that there are enough bones to build an army. How many bones in the human body? A bunch. More than the head bone connected to the neck bone. No. This army is vast, which means if there are enough bones to gather together and to form a vast army, I need you to wrap your heads around how many bones are in this valley, just how much death was present in this valley. But God raises it a vast army. And in our day, military pilots can fly drones on the other side of the world. That's not what's happening here, right? Not this army. No. This army's strength would not have been found in its technology. This army's strength would have been found in its health and in its fitness and in its ability to wield a sword and to draw a bow. So when Ezekiel says that the bones stood on their feet, a vast army, he's making a point that these bones aren't barely alive, that these bones represent a powerful force. They are a unified force. An army only works if it moves together. I didn't even have to go through boot camp to know that. It only finds victory if the unit moves with one purpose and with one aim. Here in Ezekiel, he has raised dead, dry, and decayed bones and built up an army, a vast army, a strong army, a unified army, an army marching in step with the orders of the one who called them. And next week, we're going to get into that purpose. We're going to focus on the reason the Lord raised those dry bones. But before we get there, I don't want us to skip this critical step. When you find yourself in the valley, we saw in the first week what? Name it. Name it. Confess the truth that's in front of your eyes. Don't deny it. Don't try to hide it from God. Just call it out. And then last week we saw the importance of obedience. Speaking what the Lord says, obeying what He commands, trusting Him to do what only He can do. And this week, I want you to see that Ezekiel's prophecy to the breath is more than prophecy. Prayer. It's more than prophecy. It's prayer. That word in the Hebrew for breath, that word in the Hebrew for wind, is the same word in the Hebrew for spirit. So when he calls out to the spirit, when he calls out to the spirit to come and breathe into the bodies, Ezekiel's not just prophesying and he's not just preaching. He's praying. And he's praying what the Lord commanded him to pray, which means he's praying in accordance with the will of God. And he's praying for the Spirit to accomplish, look at this, for the Spirit to accomplish what only God can do. And so this morning, let us call out to the same Spirit. Not because we're desperate for a feeling, like, ooh, I need the tinglies. Not because we've simply run out of ideas to fix things, no. Let us call out to the Spirit because only He gives life. So let's respond. The only way this text teaches us to respond. Let's pray. As the worship team comes forward, let's pray.